morning. Today is Tuesday, March 22nd, 82nd day of the new year. Joining us this morning out of Redeck, he's out. Hide the women and children, Greg Foster.
Out of the office.
Yeah. Did you go out of the back window again?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My people don't let me out unless I escape.
Yeah. Our quote this morning comes from Ana Luiz de Sabo in 1807.
Okay.
Quote, "The more I see of other countries, the more I love my own."
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. International traveler, you?
I am, yes. Yeah. Somewhat.
What do you mean somewhat? Either you do or you don't.
Right, right. True. Yeah. But I mean, it's not like I go all over the world. Once a year, I leave the country.
Oh, you jet setter, you. Yeah. Dropping little hints like that, huh?
Yeah. Right. Oregon's another country, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It seems that way some days. Oh, so what is the biggest challenge that we have in our area right now?
Yeah. Oh, boy. That is such an interesting question because it's one of those questions that I get different answers depending on who I ask. So, let's run down the list. One of the things I do in addition to being at REDEC is I'm on the St. Joseph's Health Foundation board of directors, and spent 2 years as their president. And I also, come up with this conclusion based on personal experience, which is we have a bad situation in some ways in terms of healthcare access here. We have a real shortage of medical professionals. I mean, doctors and nurses and et cetera. And I think that, and that is not only in primary care, family practitioners, but also in specialties.
Just across the board.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's interesting is we're not unique in that, but because you find a lot of other communities with that issue. But healthcare, I think, is one of those things that we would consider, defined broadly as a basic infrastructure. And it's something that I think as a community we need to be working with the medical providers, whether it be St. Joseph's or Open Door Health Centers.
So is it a rural California? Is it a California? Is it a national because of Obamacare?
Well, I wouldn't say it's Obamacare because it's an issue that started before then and it's going forward. For us up here, a lot of it has to do with, we're it's been an issue here for years. It's just getting worse as the, medical professional ages out, quite honestly. So, one of the issues is the aging out of physicians. It's hard for us to attract new physicians. Oftentimes you hear the physician needing to find a job for their spouse. We're a small community with a poor payer mix. So if you're in private practice, it's more difficult. The other thing is we might have long calls and things like that, where as opposed to the Kaiser model, where you can come in and work from 9 to 5, and so it's sometimes more difficult to practice up here.
KINS News and Information Time. We'll keep it going till we get it right. We'll be back with more from Greg Foster.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg, so if healthcare access is one of the biggest challenges, what I also heard in there was a latent, dormant, non-existent, if you will, local economy, the employment of the spouses,
mm-hmm.
having options and opportunities for things to do when you're not wearing the white robe.
Right, right.
You know, that kind of stuff. Are they interwoven?
Oh, certainly. And so, I mean, I'll even give one example that's personal to me. My my cousin is a computer linguist. So he does voice recognition, you know, all that kind of stuff. A pretty specific thing. And you know, he's got a master's degree in linguistics, and he does a lot of computer linguistics. And his partner in life, she's a family practitioner. So at my, you know, we were down at a family gathering last couple weeks ago, and I said, hey, you know, boy, you know, we're short on family practitioners. We sure would like to, you know, if you know, you guys would like to move up, I'm sure we could try to figure out a way to make that happen. And he's like, well, you know, that would be interesting. But, you know, are there jobs for me in computer linguistics in Humboldt County? And it's like,
oh, so he's not a private contractor. He's
right. Right. He works for somebody. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that's where he really wants to go. And so it's like, well, that's pretty specialized. And
telecommute?
Yeah, you know, exactly. And so, I mean, we've, you know, we are just by our nature not going to have the diversity of experiences, you know, and opportunities for professional spouses that the Bay Area will.
I mean, small is small.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, we have to be more creative about that. So we, you know, and that sort of segues me into the other thing, which is connectivity, you know, the broadband, the roads, the airlines, that sort of thing, so that, you know, if we do have professionals who want to relocate here, they have the opportunity to stay connected to the outside world. And you know, as technology gets better and you know, as cloud-based, you know, activity gets more intense, you know, the ability to stay here but work elsewhere, I think gives us a real, you know, if we can deal with those issues, gives us a real advantage in getting those kind of people here.
Are we expanding our capacity here?
In terms of infrastructure?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think we, you know, a number of years ago got the second fiber optic line in.
But only if you pay.
Well,
for that second option, right?
Yeah.
That one to me was probably one of the biggest come to Jesus moments the local business community has had with that second line and everybody perceiving that, oh, it's just interchangeable.
Right.
No, there's a caste system. And we're not going to tell you if you are or you're
right,
not. Well, you're just going to experience it.
Right,
if
right.
You happen to get hit by it.
Exactly. I mean, well, and when we
that's dog squeeze.
Yeah, well, and it has to do with whoever's providing your service. And we were clear, and I
well, even the county got caught with its pants down on that
one. Yeah, right. So, you know, you're up at REDEC, we had no problems, you know, because we, you know, and I'll give a shout out to our provider of Suddenlink, right? And so in both times when we had issues, yeah, you know, we didn't know until like our neighbors walked in and said,
yeah, we got phone calls.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, and so, but nonetheless, I mean, when you're told it's redundant, most people presume that redundant means
right
redundant.
And so when you're purchasing service, and we said this at the time, ask your carrier, are we on both lines? And if you're not, go somewhere else. And that way you'll have your redundant service. But, you know.
So is that being expanded? Or is that just
now
known?
Right. AT&T, after the second outage, you know, went to the board of supervisors and said, oh, we are going to be, you know, adding these new folks to our redundant fiber. So.
So now we do truly have redundant?
Well, again, we did an alternate fiber. We did the second fiber, and we said, because it's dark, right? It's dark fiber. In other words, it's an empty hose. And it was up to the internet service providers, the telecommunications providers, to take advantage of that. And so some did. Some did completely and some did partially. And so, you know, the question, whether your business or your consumer is do the homework and ask the question, you know, are we on both? And so, like my phone
now,
worked.
Now, too. Is that a question that people have to ask in Santa Rosa?
Quite honestly, I think it's something people should ask everywhere, but I think the answer will be different than where you are. And so, you know, But the idea was, you know, why we concentrate at REDEC so heavily on sort of infrastructure projects, kind of writ large, you know, kind of broadly defined infrastructure. What are the basics that you need for a functioning, growing community?
Are you guys stepping in on last chance grade?
We haven't taken that up just yet, but in the past, REDEC has supported the efforts around Buckhorn Summit. And,
right, and Confusion Hill, you guys
right,
were...
Right, we took the board took positions on that and that sort of thing. We haven't on Last Chance Grade, but we haven't, you know, it hasn't really come up on our agenda yet. So, but I, you know, I suspect that that would be something that comes forward and we start talking about it.
Yeah, maybe the public meetings that are happening tonight, tomorrow, and, right, and last night. Yeah.
Well, and you know, now it's trying to get the Trinity with Highway 3 gone.
Yeah, 3 gone and the slide on 299. It just kind of makes everything a little bit more dynamic. And
exactly, exactly, absolutely.
Is it Groundhog's Day, or are there just new things that you continually have to monitor to keep this infrastructure viable?
Oh, I don't think it's Groundhog Day. I mean, I think it's one of those things that you are always working. We're never done, right? We're always growing and pushing. And so, you know, I'm a big proponent of not only saying, okay, what's next and looking forward, but trying to get the infrastructure in place to get there and not looking back, but looking forward.
Is there money to do that? Not the monitoring part, the execution part of the plan.
Well, there depends on what you're talking about, right? And so, you know, I don't believe that we invest enough in transportation infrastructure in this country, and we need to. But in other places, there is money.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster. Talk Shop presented by REDEC and by CDH Painting. Greg, looking at some of the infrastructure we talked about, you know, the harbor is kind of starting to do their stuff. They bought the dredge and now it's just kind of hanging out, but stuff's going on there. We've talked about roads and some of the challenges with roads and pavements in the area. They're the big boy stuff, like we just commented on,
right,
or some of the city challenges that are going
right,
on.
Right.
What about airport? Is it happening? I mean, the thing that I know that you've been excited to get in place is that direct flight to LAX.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, that's like going to Gomorrah. But I understand that there are others that
it's
the experience.
Exactly.
Okay, fine. You know,
hey, it's Disneyland. You know,
yeah.
Nothing else.
Sure. Nice try. It is, but I would rather fly into Orange.
Oh, okay.
I'd rather drive than to fly
into LAX.
Right. So what is that still a viable thought? Is that a pipe dream? Is that something that's going to happen? Because I can see the Penn Air exploding and connecting out of Portland.
Right, right.
But to go from here to Portland to LA seems goofy. Instead of using Portland, and you just jump whatever direction
right,
you want to go.
Right. Well, so I'm gonna give you that answer, and then I want to talk about the aviation system more generally as infrastructure and how I think that can be dealt with. But I think LAX is still a strong option, and we've done a lot of market research on this and have great data on that. Based on our history,
it's a no-brainer, isn't it?
It really is. And part of it is, you know, continually making your presentation to the airlines and having them know you're here, know the data, and then when they're adding markets or ready to execute, being top of mind, as you say in the radio biz, right?
So you're just gonna beat them to death.
Well, and that's part of it. Yeah, part
just
of it
be
is,
there, be there, be there,
exactly.
Be there, and you know, they're recognizing your phone number when it comes in.
Exactly, and you know, that's how I bought my coffee machine years ago, right? The coffee people keep coming in.
I mean, it's part of the
and,
sales process,
exactly.
But at some point, there has to be the opportunity too,
right? Well, and the opportunity is there. I mean, we show them based on the flight that operated, you know, to LAX before. you know, we show them not only how many seats went out, but how many people went out and the pricing and all that. We could get all that data. And so we make a very strong economic argument. And that's the only thing that works with the airlines. I mean, people say, well, you need to force them to, you know, and it's like, no, those days are gone. You know, Hughes Air West used to fly here and give us cheap fares because they had to, because the government made them.
Your gun is a nerf.
Yeah, exactly.
It ain't bringing fewer people. But the economic argument seems to be there. Is it just a matter of timing?
It is. And so there's, you know, the airlines will make a decision based on not only this market, but also based on, do we have the aircraft available? Are we in other markets? Do we have enough? I mean, the pilot shortage right now is bad and getting worse across the entire industry.
And I know that's tougher for the regionals than it is for the big boys.
Right.
Is that just a compensation issue?
Is the military
not having as many that are retiring out?
Right. It's like a perfect storm of a number of things. One of which is about 5 years ago or so, they extended the retirement age from 60 to 65 so they wouldn't lose pilots. Well, now they're 65. That's a lot of them are going out. At the same time, the FAA increased the rest time rules. And so you have less efficiency because you're taking more time off between your shifts and you have less time
to fly. It's like the truckers.
Right.
You can only go so many hours before you have to.
And that was after a Colgan Air crash back east a number of years ago where the pilots were overtired and et cetera. And then the other thing is that they increased the amount of hours you need to get into the cockpit from 250 to 1,500. And so, you know, you're less efficient if you're in the airlines. You're taking longer if you're young to get the pilots and you're retiring at the top. The regionals don't pay as well as the mainline. And in fact, you know, you look at, you know, let's say I have come out with a $50,000 to $100,000 debt to get my 1500 hours, if that's how you're doing it, am I making enough money in the regional airline to justify that?
What is the compensation? I've sat with a number of pilots and they give me stories that they need to have a second job.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean it's kind of like baseball players were in the 20s,
right? You know? Right. You know, and it varies from regional to regional. So I can't give.
Is it a $50,000? Is it a 75?
No, I think
is it 150?
No, it's less than that. I mean, I think when you're talking in the six figure, you know, low high five figures, low six figures is where you are when you're going up the main line.
So more almost what we would think the stewardesses get paid.
Well, they're called flight attendants now.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, they're not – I mean, I literally don't know how much they're paid. I know the anecdotal information that says, you know, when you do the math, it's not worth the investment of that much money to start, you know. And
being on call all the time.
Right. But you're seeing now – it's interesting. We talked earlier about, physician recruitment. You're seeing now more airlines offering – you know, pay for your education, signing bonuses, that sort of thing to get pilots. Because, you know, if you can't, you don't even want to fly the plane, so everything else doesn't matter, right? And so there's that perfect storm, and we're dealing, you're seeing more flight cancellations, you're seeing reduced schedules, that sort of thing. And so the airlines have to balance a lot of factors in their decision making, and you just need to show them that you're one of the best places for them to make that investment.
So this was driven by an FAA determination, or was this an OSHA? I mean, going from 250 to 1,500 seems...
That was an FAA.
Huge.
It was a big jump.
I wonder what was magical about 1,500.
I have no idea.
Instead of, you know, I mean, 1,000 would have been
right,
significant, right. But would have released some of these guys. Is there any discussions about...
You know, I'm sure there's a lot of discussions going on now around the pilot shortage, and you know, it's something I'm sure is going to take regulatory or legislative addressing going forward. It's also going to take economic, you know, addressing it through the economics of being a pilot. And so I think the companies are also going to have to say, well, here we go. Now,
yeah, they have to step up a little bit, but also, right. You know, if the cost of the education
right.
is reduced by a third,
right.
You know, there's a sweet spot in there somewhere.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, I'm telling my son, hey, you know, he's 17. You know, hey, have you ever thought about being a pilot?
A flying nurse.
Yeah,
put those two together, exactly. I mean, you'd be set for life.
Exactly, you know. So I said, hey, look, here's another. And I'll send him these little emails. Hey, look, here's another airline that's offering to pay for your education.
Don't give you that. Dad wants free air transportation.
Well, Dad would like free college as well.
Yeah. Those two do kind of get hooked together.
Exactly.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Greg Foster.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster, Executive Director from REDEC. Greg, as you look at some of the challenges that are there, we've got the infrastructure you were alluding to with the airport. We've got the marketplace demand for the airport. We've got the suppliers with the airport. What about the vendors? Are we in a strong spot for vendors, or are we kind of like that poor little offshoot mall that has to get hooked? If you want this, you got to take that.
Right, right. Well, you know, I think we should take a step back and say we have in our aviation division, that's all six airports that the county runs. And there's others, obviously, in Humboldt County. But, you know, an incredible infrastructure that if approached in a business-like manner, and when I say business-like manner, it's like, you know, have a strategic business focus that says, you know, we want to develop these things. And I'm not just talking passenger air service. I'm talking general aviation, cargo, developing the real estate, because there's a lot of real estate, the business processes, how we recruit businesses, how we deal with hangars that we have,
look
how to build new hangars.
From the county economic development perspective.
Exactly.
Is anybody in there now?
You know, there's a discussion going on with a couple of supervisors and the interim CAO and the public works director. They have the airport sustainability committee. And I haven't, that's been a couple meetings, I believe, and I'm not part of that process. But what I'm encouraging is, hey, look at all the asset you have here and figure out not only the you know, strategic direction, but the structure and how it works to get people to want to invest in this stuff. And that's primarily, I think, a matter of focus.
Yeah,
a real business-like focus.
Priority.
Exactly. Yeah. And velocity. In other words, you know, right now, you know, the way the county's set up, you know, every contract or most contracts have to go to the Board of Supervisors and it takes a 4/5 vote. I mean, that's not how business operates, right? And so
you need some positive inertia to get the things rolling.
You need to operate at the speed of business. And what's interesting is the aviation division is called out in the audit for the county as its business unit. And so that implies a certain way you operate. And that means maximizing revenues, controlling expenses, which I think is an issue, and operating in a certain business-like manner in a certain velocity.
What's the lowest hanging fruit?
Well, right now, I think there's air service. I think we can do some development of real estate. There's a lot of real estate up at the airport, and I'm not just talking for hangars and airport-related businesses, but airport-compatible development. We've got a new person coming into the terminal, which will be really cool. People will see activity going on at the gift shop area as they get ready for that. The restaurant. There's a lot to, when I look at it, there's a huge list of development opportunities that just need to be grabbed and run with.
I understand you have a full-time job, though.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Thanks for coming by.
One at a time.
Yeah. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone. You'll see you then.